You guys can turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 5. We're going to start reading with verse 12. As I said a moment ago, today is Palm Sunday, and we have these lovely palms to remind us of the beginning of the Passion Week, Jesus going into Jerusalem. And as he makes his way into Jerusalem, the week before he's crucified, the people hail him as king. They welcome him as the one who is coming to save. Hosanna means save us. And we read in the scriptures, in Matthew 21, that Jesus comes riding on a donkey. And Matthew tells us that this took place to fulfill what was written in the prophets. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. And the people are crying out, Hosanna, son of David. David was the king of Israel and a renowned king. And Jesus, he's from the line of David, and they're proclaiming the king is coming. The king has come to us. And they cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. God, save us. Luke tells us that they're crying out, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And they are identifying Jesus as the king. And today we're going to be talking about what kind of kingdom Jesus brings to us. The Jews, I often remind you that they have a misunderstanding of what the Messiah was going to be and what the Messiah was going to do. They had a political enemy. The Romans were oppressing them. The Romans had come in and conquered their land, and they were looking for a Jewish Messiah, an anointed one, a Christ, to come in and overthrow the enemies of Israel and establish the kingdom of Israel in their land. And that's what they were looking for, and that's what they were expecting out of Jesus, who was doing all these miracles and teaching about the kingdom of God. But they were misunderstanding something, is that they had a greater enemy, an enemy more problematic than the Romans. And that enemy was sin and death, and Jesus was coming to not throw out the Romans, but rather conquer sin and death and establish a kingdom of life. We read about what Jesus does for us in Romans chapter 5. Let's read verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as Adam did, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the obedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Did you get all that? It's a lot of this and that and just as, so therefore. It's a lot of complex language here. We're going to take some time to break it down. But before we do, I want to remind you of where we are. We've been working through and discussing what God does through Jesus and how there is good news, that there is a righteousness available to us from God. And last time we saw the results of justification, of being set right and declared righteous before God. In Romans chapter 3, we saw that we had a sin problem, but Jesus, he came as the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And now we have righteousness in him and through faith in him. And at the beginning of chapter 5, Paul lays out all of the benefits and all of the spiritual blessings that we have because we are now set right and put in right standing with God. We have peace with God. We have access to grace. We experience the love of God through the Holy Spirit that is poured out in our hearts. We have salvation from the wrath of God in his life, is what Paul says at the beginning of chapter 5. But it's important to know that there are more benefits to come. Not only do we have salvation from wrath in his life, but we also get to participate in the life of Christ. See, we human beings, we have a problem. That problem is death and the reign of death. You know, just this past week, within the couple of days, I've been made aware of the reality of death. One of my father's family members, he shared with us Friday night, a cousin's child passed away this past Friday. Jim called yesterday and asked for prayer because just out of the blue, he was called and asked to go speak to a group of individuals whose coworker had just passed away. We recognize that as human beings, death is all around us. It happens all the time, whether we are aware of it or not. It hits us hard when it happens to someone that we love. Very rarely do we like to think about our own death, although sometimes Hannah and I joke about what's going to happen after one of us dies. I like to remind you, last night we were laughing, and she's like, we're like, how long are we going to put up with each other? And we're like, well, till one of us dies, I guess. You know, like, death is this reality that we all face. And death touches every human being. So Paul describes this reign of death, and he says, let me explain why things are the way things are. Sin and death entered the world through Adam. He says in verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. This takes us back to the Garden of Eden, where God had made mankind, male and female, in his own image. And he placed them in the garden, and they were to rule and reign over the earth alongside God. They were in charge of all of creation. And God, he placed a boundary for them. And there was a particular tree, and God called it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told Adam that of that tree you shall not eat, and the day that you do, you shall surely die. And so he lays down a boundary, and he explains what the consequence will be if that boundary is crossed. Now, I don't believe that there is anything particularly evil or bad about that tree. God's creation was perfectly good, but God was establishing a boundary and laying down the reality that human beings are ultimately not their own God. They're not in charge. While they have been given rule and reign, they still are to relate to God in a proper relationship where he is God and we are not. And we are dependent upon him for life. We are not the source of our own life. And so Adam he broke that command, and he experienced death. Now, he experienced death in two ways. The Bible kind of describes death in a couple of different ways. First is physical death, the death of the body, where we cease to live, we cease to breathe. The other is spiritual death, and that's described as a separation between us and God. God is the giver of life, and if we go against his command, if we transgress or cross that boundary, then we separate ourselves in relationship with him, and because we separate ourselves from the giver of life, well, the only other result then can be death. And so Paul describes how death enters this world through Adam, and he says, in this way, death comes to all people because all sinned. All right, so sin is pervasive. Everyone sins. We laid that out as we worked our way through the first few chapters of Romans. And now we are guilty. We're deserving of wrath. But Jesus comes, and he sets us right before God. He satisfies God's wrath, but we still have to deal with the result of sin, with the consequence of sin, which is death. And now Paul is proclaiming this is Jesus dealing with that consequence. He says, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. And the idea here is just getting across the fact that God gave Adam a command, and Adam crossed that boundary. That's what the word trespass means, all right? However, until Moses comes, there are no more commands that we really read in the scripture. There are no you shall nots, right? We get to the time of Moses, and God gives the law to the people of Israel. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not murder. You shall not lie. You shall not steal. You shall not commit adultery. These types of things, right? Honor your father and mother. John read this morning. Those are commands that we are not to break. But in the in-between time, people were still sinning, but it really wasn't being added to their account or kept record of because they had no specific law that they were breaking. But Paul says, nevertheless, sin was still in the world and death reigned. Death held dominion from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. In other words, death was king, is kind of what he's saying. Even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as Adam did, right? So Adam broke a specific command. He trespassed. He crossed that boundary. The people between Adam and Moses, they didn't have a specific command, but they still died. That's what Paul is saying. Death is still ruling and reigning. But there's good news. Adam was a pattern of the one who was coming, and he's pointing to Christ. And you often hear people talk about the first Adam, talking about Adam from Adam and Eve in the garden, and then the second Adam, or the Son of God coming in the flesh as a human being, Jesus of Nazareth, and what he has done on our behalf. So we have this problem, and it's the reign of death, and we all experience death, but Jesus is coming to remedy the situation, and the way that he fixes that situation is through his gift of righteousness. And so now Paul is going to make a series of comparisons, and I've tried to lay them out for us so that we can follow. Because sometimes when I read them in this paragraph form, I'm getting things mixed up. There's a lot of, again, complex words here, complex language. What are we actually talking about? We're going to lay them out over the next several slides here. First of all, he compares the trespass to the gift. And again, this is a specific word for sin, and as I described a moment ago, it's like crossing a boundary. When we talk about all you hunters, you like to go out in the woods, and you hate to see that sign that says, no trespassing. I'm like, but there's animals that I'm going to shoot over there. I know, not all of us are cool with shooting animals, that's okay, but they make some good food sometimes. Anyway, you see that no trespassing sign, don't go over there, don't cross that boundary. And so this is describing the crossing of a boundary. And we have what Adam did in crossing that boundary and then the gift that came through Christ. And so on the one hand, many died with the trespass. Many died by the trespass of the one man. So Adam's sin ultimately resulted in the death of all of us. As human beings, we follow in his footsteps, we sin, and we die. But if that's the case, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? So he describes a gift that we have from God, that is God's grace, and a gift that is through the grace of Jesus, and that gift overflows to many people. Now, he hasn't told us what the gift is yet. He'll tell us in just a moment what the gift is. We already know from earlier in Romans what the gift is, but if you're not sure yet, well, it's right there on the screen. He hasn't told us yet what this gift is. But he says that gift comes through one man, Jesus, and it abounds to many, right? So it's overflowing. The comparison is what one person does and how it affects others, all right? Next, he says, nor can the gift of God be compared to the result of one man's sin. So we have what comes out of the sin of Adam versus the gift that God offers us, that we're offered in Jesus. And so he says, out of that one man's sin, a judgment followed from one sin and brought condemnation. This word condemnation means like a pronouncement of a guilty verdict that leads to punishment, all right? So it's not just you did something wrong, but it is now there is a penalty that has to be paid for that wrongdoing. We've talked about God's justice and how we are deserving of wrath and we are deserving of death. So he says, judgment came out of that one sin and it brought condemnation. But on the other side of the equation, we have the gift of God, and it is a gracious gift. And he uses in this passage three different words to describe gift, right? Three different Greek words that are that communicate this idea of a free gift or a favor from God. And he's just hitting it from a bunch of different angles, all right? So grace or favor overflowed to many by the grace of the one man. And this gracious gift followed many trespasses and brought justification, all right? So there are lots of sins. We sin a bunch. Yet God offers us a gracious gift, a free gift, and it brings about acquittal, being declared righteous before God, being brought back into right standing before him in the judicial sense. Last week we talked about the relational sense, how we have this peace, but as before the judge of the universe, he declares us righteous before him. Okay? He goes on. He makes yet another comparison, and he compares death versus the result of this gift. He says, for by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. So we could summarize this as death reigned through Adam, right? So death entered the world through Adam, and all of us died. We described that problem. But how much more then will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and God's abundant provision of the gift of righteousness, finally he names the gift again, how much more will they reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? And there's something interesting that happens here that I did not expect and that you wouldn't expect as we're reading these comparisons. We expect them to be perfectly parallel. And I would think, well, if death is reigning through one man, then life will reign through Jesus, right? That makes parallel sense. But that's not what he says here. Who's the one reigning? Those who receive grace. Those who have the abundant provision of the gift of righteousness. In other words, death reigns, but if you've received the gift of righteousness, you will reign in life, right? There's the life side of the equation, but you will reign in life through Jesus Christ. God is reversing the effects of the curse. Adam and Eve were created to rule and reign in life with God. And when they sin, well, the curse was they would eat from the ground with the sweat of their brow, and there would be death. God says, from dust you came, and to dust you will return, that we're going to die and return to the ground. Yet God is reestablishing the reign of humanity through Jesus, that we will rule and reign with him. Consequently, he says, and he goes on with another comparison. He says, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. So on the one side of things, we have through this one trespass, all people were affected, and they were declared guilty of their sin. There's this domino effect that the whole human race becomes guilty and ultimately will die. But on the other side of things, through one righteous act, what Jesus has done, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He went to the cross for us. Through this one act of righteousness, it resulted in the justification of life for all people. So our justification, our being declared righteous before God, results in life for everyone, for all those who receive that abundant provision of the gift of righteousness. He says, the many were made sinners through the disobedience of the one man. Again, Adam's sin had consequences for all of humanity, and all people became sinners. So also, through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Jesus was faithful to God, and we read in the book of Philippians in chapter 2 how Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or something to be clung to or held onto, but instead, he willingly gave up the glory of heaven, and he came to the earth, and he lived life as a human being, and he took on the nature of a servant. The one who should be served came to serve, and he was obedient to death, and even death on a cross, the most shameful, painful death that you could die. He's nailed to the cross, his blood is shed, and that act of obedience to God is what brings about our righteousness. And it's through faith, Paul has said, in his sacrifice, through our trust in God, when we believe God, it is credited to us as righteousness. So Jesus, he came and he died for us, and through that act of obedience, we can be set right, made righteous before God. All right, so this is what the gift of righteousness does. And then the end result of this, then, is the reign of grace. And he goes on to describe here at the end of this the role of the law that it played. He says, the law was brought in so that trespass might increase. He's already said back in chapter 4 when he's talking about Abraham, how the law came, and it's through the law that we become aware of sin, that we recognize sin. If there's no law against coveting or stealing or lying, there is this moral sense built within us, but it's not really clear, and that's really kind of corrupted and gets all kinds of wonky. Like sometimes I don't have my conscience isn't perfect. But God lays out his commands so that as we see those commands, we realize, oh, we really are sinners, and we're in it deep, and we've got serious problems. The law was brought in so that this crossing of the boundary might increase. But the good news is, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. This is a really fun word. He's not talking about just a little bit of increase. He's talking about a lot of increase. The word means to abound and overflow, but it's an added idea here where it like super abounds or super overflows. It doesn't just overflow just a little bit. You know, like when you're pouring the cup of coffee and you're just tired and you need a lot, so you're trying to get it all, like all the way up. And you know, like the surface tension of the water, you can kind of get it just above the top of the glass. That's fun, you know. And then you go a little too much and it just dribbles over the side of the cup. You're like, now I've got a mess to clean up. That's not the picture here. The picture here is we're dumping the whole thing and it is overflowing all over the table, all over everywhere. Like God's grace washes away our sin. Where our sin multiplies, we think, God, could you really love me because I did this? And I know I told you I wasn't going to do it again, but I failed again. And I'm not talking about just, you know, taking God's grace for granted, because we're going to talk about that later in chapter 6. But we're talking about genuine repentance and genuine understanding of, God, you know what I did, and I can't see how I could ever be made right or I could ever be forgiven. And God says, my grace is enough. My grace will overflow to you. My grace will abound to you. And so he makes one more comparison, that just as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus overthrows the reign of sin and death. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And he gives us his righteousness that results in life. The reign of Jesus, as we cry out, God save us, Hosanna, we need you, we are desperate, is not just about having some successful version of life here on this earth where all my, you know, worldly problems are solved and I have enough money and I'm healthy and everything just goes the way I want it to go. That's not how life is. Jesus knows we have a greater enemy, and that enemy is death. And that enemy creates wounds and pains and sorrows and griefs. But the result of the righteousness of God is that Jesus is setting all things right. And that's what chapter 5 is all about. We have this cleansing from sin. Jesus comes and he satisfies the wrath of God. We are no longer objects of wrath, but we are brought to a place of peace and we are reconciled and brought into friendship and the love of God. But it doesn't just stop there with the spiritual relationship. It deals with the fact that we as human beings die and God is going to set all things right and he's going to overturn the consequences of sin and we finally have freedom from death in Jesus Christ. Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of life. We look around and we recognize that humanity is under the dominion of death and we feel the sorrow and pain of that. But Jesus has come and offered us a gift of righteousness. And through that righteousness, he brings us eternal life. We partake in his righteousness and his life so that we might rule and reign with God forever. He is king, he is seated on the throne, and he invites us to come and participate in his kingdom. Do you pray with me this morning? God, I want to thank you for our time to look at your word today and to be reminded that you have conquered death. God, we are entering into the Easter season, the week of the Passion, where we remember what you've done for us on the cross and we celebrate the resurrection. God, as we proclaim you as king today, I pray that you would remind us of what your kingdom brings. Life through the gracious gift of your righteousness. God, I pray that we would walk not in death, but in life, and that we might live to the full. Fill us with your life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.